Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to say thanks for all the love and support recently for the 300th episode. It really means a lot to hear everybody was enjoying it and things. So if you missed it, again, it's available still online 24/7 at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and rockpaperpodcast.com. Be sure to check out the Loft Sessions on Facebook and Twitter for all the videos of the songs and full video of the interview as well. So check that out. And so this week is sponsored by Gaslight over on the hill at Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Check them out at GaslightSTL.com. They're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Come over this week on November 4th. You can see Sister Wizard there. November 5th, Cara Louise. And November 7th, Nick Guzman. So yeah, check these people out. I have a full listings on their website at GaslightSTL.com, like I said. And but yeah, just a lot of wonderful things going on over at Gaslight. Some great recordings are coming out of there. They're supporting all kinds of your favorite locals. There's always a big party going on. So check it out. And I also want to say thank you to Music Record Shop for supporting the show. This episode is sponsored by them. You can come out November 2nd and see Steel City Jug Slammers doing a live in-store over there at their new location on Washington Avenue, right next door to KDHX. And then also mark your calendar for Friday, November 25th. That's Record Store Day, Black Friday. They got all kinds of great exclusives, all kinds of limited edition vinyl and a bunch of other great things. So, but yeah, new records in every Friday over at Music Record Shop. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Where am I going? Do you know the way? Could you light a path for me? Cause I keep looking up and all I can tell is that it's getting dark, but I'm still counting stars to see just how high I can tell if you're here or there from down here. I hear him talking and talking. I am the loser of every game, so it's all the same to me. Look in the darkness with my eager eyes. here or there from down here.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out in Absent Recording Studios with John Heiser. Welcome Hello. To the show, man.
Hey.
Very excited about this. Getting to hang out. We tried one before, but we had a little technical difficulty. Take two.
yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm excited though. We got. We got to talking about it, but one of the first, introduction was at the Greek Fire show.
Yeah.
You got to open with some of your acoustic tunes with, and you had Brian helping you out with some drums.
Yeah, and Brian stuff. Porter.
Yeah. Brian was just on the show a little bit ago with Queens Boulevard episode.
Yeah.
And that was a good time.
Yeah. They're good people.
Yeah, I like those guys a lot. I had a real good time with them. And I saw you perform that night, and shortly after that, I said, let's get together and do one of these. And you said you had your record that you're working on, and that's, you're gearing up to release that then, right?
Yep. I've got 12 songs. And I kind of started writing them about 5 years ago, I guess. And I started producing them about 5 years ago. So, you know, it's not where I'm at now. So it's a little weird to release these, but I feel like if I don't release them, I'm just, you know, what's all that time I spent doing them and hacking away at them?
Sure. Well, yeah, you were making jokes during your live set at the Greek Fire show that you were like, this song will be on my second album.
Yeah.
And then, like, this one's actually on my third album that's coming out.
Yeah.
Or something, you know. So, like, you have all this material, but, yeah, you're like you're saying, you haven't even released the first one, so you might as well at least put it out in order.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to do, because I don't want to release something that, like, I'm super, that's really, you know, right where I'm at now, and then it's like, well, then I have to go back and backtrack and release something that, like, I don't feel is representative of me, you know?
Sure.
So I would rather just get it out. Like, I'm just going to dump it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like getting out there is just like, you know what? I'm done with tweaking this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tweak it to die. You know, I would just, it really kind of becomes I don't know, like sitting in the studio by myself trying to make these songs work in one way or another, you know, and I just have endless possibilities of, you know, what do I do in this particular part to fill it out?
Right.
I tweak, you know, and I it's never done. It's always just something that I just have abandoned, and I begin to hate it after a while, and it's kind of sucks, you know. I kind of wish I was one of those people who could just, like, do everything in one take and be happy with it, but yeah. So
Recording it, you're, you know, the engineer, producer, mixing it.
Yeah. I didn't mix it. I needed to get it out of my hands.
Yeah.
But I was a pain in the ass to the guy, you know, like the guy who I sent to mix it. I just, you know, it ended up taking us a long time because it just wasn't perfect, you know, or for whatever reason. And I just kind of got to the point where I put it down for a long time. And then I was just like, I'm working on new songs and I can be excited about those, and I don't have to necessarily, like, sit there and dwell on these songs and getting them to be perfect.
Right.
So,
and we kind of touched on a little bit off mic when we were kind of getting going on this, but it reminded me, like, I've heard from a lot of other artists. I can't think of who said it now, but they were, I've heard said like where they'll put out a record and, you know, they tour on it and things or whatever, and they get so sick of their own material. Mm-hmm. And then they already have that second album or third album, whatever it is, ready to go. But, you know, as they're working on that, touring on that other first material. Yeah. But then there, you know, it takes like, be like a year or something passes, and they can go back and look at that. And then they actually appreciate like, oh, then it was actually, you know, a great record. It's just the fact that you're over saturated with absolutely. It and where you just get so burned out on it.
Yeah, I think every time I have an album, because I think this is my fourth or my fifth full album kind. You know, I don't know if it's considered a full album, but I think it's usually what happens is I hate it when I release it. I'm really like self conscious of the entire effort when I release it, and then I don't listen to it at all for. At least, I mean, I will just put it away and just, you know, I won't listen to it for at least a year. And then I'll come back and then I'll see it in a new light, kind of, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I've heard the same, like I said, a bunch of times. But I think I'm that same way as a fan though, too, when I listen to stuff. I mean, there's times where I'll listen to a record. And, you know, I don't get it, you know? It's like, you know, it's just like, say somebody suggested to me, like, oh, this album's great, give it a listen, and I do, and I'm like, I don't know, it was all right, yeah. And then, like, I'll come back a year later, try it out, maybe I missed something, you know? And then, like, all of a sudden, whatever it is, that mood that day, or... something else, a different part of my life, it all clicked for me too, at that time. You know, it's that.
Yeah, I do that too.
Certain records will all of a sudden, like, it all makes sense to me, so.
Yeah, I feel like being in the right spot, you know, sometimes you just have to be in the right mood.
Sure.
Yeah. For whatever, you know.
Yeah, I think all music's like that. I think it's all subjective, you know, a lot of people, you just got to be the right day and right mood and all this stuff. I mean, for certain records to hit you and stuff like, so.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, yeah. I hate it. Like, I've been listening to country lately, you know, and I hated country. I absolutely hated it. And then now I like seek out that old twangy crap that I just, you know, couldn't, I mean, I don't think it's crap anymore. Yeah. You know,
I think it's also, just personal growth as we get older and stuff,
yeah.
We open our minds to a little more and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like with country, you know, it's kind of like, people would just kind of rip on it and it was like, and then we would kind of fall into that thing where granted there are tons of like, stereotype of, you know, things that brought up in country music, and a lot of it's true, you know, all the beer drinking and pickup trucks and all the typical things that pop up in a lot of songs.
Yeah, well,
but I mean, if you listen to any like rock music or whatever, there's a lot of the same subjects that come up in all those.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's all music's like that if you just look at it that way. But
I think it's this subset of bro country that does yeah. that, and that's what's being played. That's what the radio decides sure. that we need to listen to. But then again, you know, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I think it really comes down to lyrical content.
Sure.
You know, and that's where I'll really be like, all right, that is just makes my brain bleed as, you right. know, because it's so shallow or like, to me, I don't like songs that are about partying or, you sure. know, like I'm not a partier. That doesn't make me feel anything other than, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's like, kind of how I feel like with rap. Like, you know, I just like, they're all, you know, about cars and money and stuff. And like, I don't know. I just never really, I mean, they're not all like that, but I feel like commercial rap is like that, but I like real like hip hop and like, you know, guys that actually writing stories and stuff, you know, and like, and I like that. Like, I mean, so those, you know, that's lyrics, you know, to a beat that like, you know, or tell, it's poetry, man. It tells, yeah, tells a beautiful story.
And that's, I mean, honestly, that's where, if I had to like figure out what it is about that makes bad music, I really think it comes down to the lyrics a lot, yeah, of time, you know?
I read some article, I actually didn't read the whole article, but I read the headline. So I feel like I know exactly what it said. But no, it was saying something along the lines of that, that overall, pop music lyric content is like at a seventh grade reading level or something now. That
it's, yeah,
like, the writing, has been scaled down, like dumbed down so much where it's just, yeah, like, it's just, you know, I mean, you look at some, of course people put it all on Facebook, like these, whatever, Beyonce or Nicki Minaj songs or whatever that, like, you know, these quotes or Kanye West or whatever, and they're all like,
and they're deep, and
yeah, compared to like a Queen or something like that, you know, it's like, and you know, but I feel like they all had bad songs if you highlight it like that, but,
yeah,
I mean, but yeah, like I feel like lyrics are, if somebody can write something like that good, it's, you know, like I said, that's where I connect to also.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every writer, well, I don't know, maybe not every writer, but at least me, I've written plenty of completely embarrassing lyrics, yeah, you know. So I can, you can't, it's really hard to judge something when you know that, like, you've been there, or you're still there, maybe. And so, you know, like, there, mm-hmm, are people who blow me out of the water and make my lyrics look terrible. Right. So
whatever record label wants to put a bunch of money behind somebody and things, and then, yeah, that's where they, that's how they get on the radio, and that's where their video gets out there and, yeah, everything else. And but yeah, I mean, I agree, man. There's so many super talented, even local artists that are,
yeah,
you know, doing wonderful things, but just, and that's a lot of why I'm trying to do this show, is trying to put a little light on them because they deserve it. And, you know, just like those record labels and radios, you know, the people on the radio stations aren't playing the music and stuff. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't think I think a lot of times, like, I don't know if radio stations are necessarily the problem. I just think that I think they're forced to do this for whatever reason.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's like, they're owned by corporations that have sponsors that,
yeah,
are telling them to do the,
yeah,
thing. So
it's just,
they're just all kind of puppets in it. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, oh, well.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I think, yeah, that is one good thing about today's world is, there's so much to digest that you'll never be able to digest a fraction of it.
Sure.
And it also kind of, like, that comes with, like, kind of an overwhelming thing, I feel like, you know, at least for me. Like, I feel like there are so many people out there doing it just as good, if not much better than me, that it becomes, as an artist, that becomes very overwhelming, that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like,
yeah,
there isn't anything that hasn't been done or done better, and,
sure,
you know, it just kind of, it can really kind of get in your head these days, whereas before there wasn't as many, you know, there was as many people doing it, it's just we didn't hear them all.
Sure. I think with music it's a little bit more forgiving, maybe, where you can do stuff that might be done before or something similar and things. But, like, I talk to a lot of comedians, and, like, that's one I feel like, I don't know how anybody still does. I mean, obviously there's always new things to kind of joke about and, you know, with news and stuff, but, like, so many things have already been said before, you know, and that's,
yeah,
like, that's my biggest thing is, like, trying to say a joke that's not, or a thought that's never been, because so many people will say, you know, like, of course, like, you know, airplanes or something, like, whatever, but, oh, I got a joke about airplanes, you know, uh-huh, so it's like, that's kind of like my joke, and it's like, so how do you even come up with something that's not already been said, but,
yeah,
and that's, I don't know. That's how I feel. Like, I always, I'm a huge fan of songwriting, and I would love to, like, get into writing because I just think it'd be fun to write and record a song of some, I mean, maybe, yeah, maybe somebody else singing it, but just, it's kind of a bucket list thing. But then when I think about sitting down to write, I'm like, well, what do I write about that's not been wrote, you know, not already been written, you know? So,
yeah. Well, then I guess I could play the devil's advocate there. And, right, you know, I guess everybody's life is different. So, sure. I mean, you can,
yeah,
you can come up with different, I guess, conclusions, you know, I don't know.
What were some of those, for you that, inspired you to start writing songs and stuff?
I mean, hell, I've written songs about every particular. I used to write, like, back when I was in Building Room, like, I did everything from just, like, joke songs, which I don't wish that I didn't do them, but I do hate them.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't necessarily hate Gangster Baby, but, and the reason being is because of, like, the process in which it happened, you know, like that band, working with a band and stuff. Like, I feel like even if the song is, like, just a joke, which that song was, it's still, you know, I learned something. It was also a good time doing that.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I write about a lot of things, like, yeah, like the Building Room breakup was what this particular album is about. When I was on my epic train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so a lot of it, you know, like, I just had to repair a lot of relationships, and this particular album is just kind of going over, you know, where I was at. I mean, so it's depressing, you know? Yeah. Like, I went through a year of, like, or probably a year and a half of just, like, a major depression. I didn't write or play my instrument for about a year and a half. I fell pretty hard. Sure. It was just, it was a hard fall. Right. And,
but yeah. I think, man, like we said earlier, it's like, though, it's, you know, it's not the fall, it's, you gotta get back up, though, and that's,
yeah.
And that's what, like, I feel like that's, hopefully this record's at, man, like, hopefully we're on the,
yeah, floor. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, like I said, I don't know if I have said this, but I definitely am not expecting anything, because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not the same person I was when I was writing music and Building Rome. So, you know, we had some fans, you know, like, I'm not, you know, we weren't, like, the biggest band in the world, but I don't feel like the old fans are maybe not going to like, especially if the old fans still like, maybe that type of music, it might not be for them. So I guess, mm-hmm, I've changed throughout this process of this album, you know. Yeah. Even while the album is a compilation of songs I've written over 5 years, you know, four or 5 years.
I mean, I like to think that, you know, I mean, if look back in my own self, that hopefully I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. Hopefully,
yeah.
Hopefully I've changed too. And but yeah, I mean, I think we all grow and learn from our mistakes, and you know, and then hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll become better people from it all. And,
yeah.
But yeah, man, this, so we got the album, is almost done, in the mastering,
yeah,
phases now.
Yeah. So now I'm in the phase where I, you know, am overthinking everything again, yeah, with the masters. So I need to actually, right now, I actually need to go, like, and, like, after we're done, I need to listen to the first master and decide if I want to send it back or keep it, you know? Yeah. So,
are you, would you have a release party, or are you just going to put it out online? Or?
I think I'm going to put it out online. I might do, so I have another album, like, so I have this album that is just, you know, I finished it about a year ago, and then I have another album, like an EP, that I'm currently working on, that I've got the songs written, and I've got, like, half of them kind of produced up. I feel like what I'm going to do is I'm probably going to just put this first one out there and not really do too much. I might do some, like, you know, I'll throw it out there, see what happens. I'm, you know, and then meanwhile, I'll be working on this new one that I'm a little bit more proud of the stuff that I'm doing now, just because I feel like I've gotten a lot better as a producer. And
sure. You were talking about being a producer and stuff, your production skills and things, but you got a couple of people you've been working with here at the studio. Is we got Big Rigs.
Yep.
They're I guess they're a little more country.
Yeah, a little bit more country.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Greg, the songwriter, I guess, and guitarist in that band, we have a very similar taste in music right now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this alt country, you know, it's somewhere between rock and country, but it's definitely country. It's just, it's not the bro country, right. You know? So he writes these songs and, he's kind of a new songwriter. Like, he just kind of started writing. I think Greg was just like, yeah, I think I'm going to try writing a song. And he got really good really quick, yeah. You know? It's pretty cool. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on it for a while, and then we're about to mix it, and I think people are going to like it. I do.
Yeah. That'll be, EP will be coming out.
Yeah, I think June, they said somewhere? June. Where I'm going to start mixing it on Wednesday.
Okay.
So, I'm excited for that one. I think that one is going to be really cool.
Yeah. And then you got New Mayans. They recorded over here too.
Yeah. Well, it's actually one guy. It's one Joe. Guy.
Okay, Joe.
Joe Swiggy.
What it was two. There was another guy. I guess he.
Yeah, he kind of was in the band for a second, okay. And I think he's back in the band.
All right.
Joe's like, he's the, you know, he's the main guy doing it.
Sure.
And Dan is the other guy. Dan was kind of, he was helping out for a while, and I think he's coming back, you know. I really tried to get him to come back, so.
Yeah. And then you're working with Pirate Signal, you said?
Yeah, I'm about to start with them.
Yeah, man.
So I'm excited about that.
Buddies.
Oh, you know them?
Yeah, we cool. They've been on the show, and I've seen them live and stuff. But they, their episode we recorded in Josh's minivan. So that was that was the first one recorded in a minivan for me. So
nice,
pretty interesting. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I went to their practice last night.
Yeah,
and they're good. They're tight. I always go. I always try to. It's always the drummer. The drummer's in. You know, if the drummer's bad, then it's just. You know, there's really not much.
Yeah.
That you can do, but their drummer is really good. I really like. He's got good chops. So.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a really cool project, and they got to like. I mean, everybody in the band is good, but. Their guitarist also makes some really, really innovative, does some really innovative guitar work. I think that's going to be a really cool project.
Yeah, man. Very cool.
We're starting with that on Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Keeping busy, man.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess, We got some. You want to throw some songs on from the new new record?
I'll do that.
So let's talk about these. You said you want to play Lost.
Yeah, I think that's the one where I'll probably throw out there first.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is there any particular story in there? Or?
I figure I'll probably. I mean, if people were listening to the whole podcast, you know that it was one of those I guess, I mean, without going into the specifics, you know, of every song, sure. I feel like it kind of ruins it if I go into specifics.
Yeah. I always kind of liked it. I mean, like, you don't have to like tell the whole stories. And I always kind of like to ask, cause sometimes I guess we pretty well covered it already, but of some of the stories that led up to this. But yeah. Sometimes I find some of those stories interesting and how songs came about and things. But I guess you're right. I guess we pretty well covered most of that.
Yeah, well, because one time I explained like the entire concept I had of Nightmare, and then I had a friend or two was like, yeah, they kind of ruined it for me. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, it's
sure. Yeah. Sometimes you like, it's better left open to interpretation. Yeah. Yeah. I never want somebody to tell me like exactly like, oh, this song is this. You know, but like, I'm more like, like the stories that led up to it, And I was in Dallas and writing this, whatever, whatever that, where you're at, those kind of stories and things like that. Oh, I always find those interesting when I listen to some of the singer songwriters tell these stories and things. So,
I think for this particular one, it's kind of like, but for a lot of this album, there's a lot of really personal crap that I wrote in this album, which is another reason why I'm like, oh man,
yeah,
do I want to release it? I have to release it. The album's very personal.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not, it's not like I'm making incredible metaphors or anything. So, right. They're pretty,
sure.
They're somewhat on the surface, I guess. Maybe not.
Yeah. Well, I threw your picture online and asked if, any of the friends and fans had, some questions for you.
All right.
And I thought a couple of these were actually pretty good.
Okay.
Tyler asked, what's it like producing your own music in your own studio as to compared to working with another producer? And what is your dream collaboration?
I've been realizing that I'm much better at producing other people's music than I am my own. Because with my own stuff, I get in my head. I can't make decisions. So working with myself as a producer kind of sucks. Yeah. It has its upsides and downsides. Because its upsides is I can fuck with it until it sounds the way I want it. But the problem is while I'm messing with it, I begin to lose my way, whereas somebody there would be like, hey man, you're going down the rabbit hole here, and you don't need to spend 16 hours on an acoustic guitar track, it's tight enough, you're right. Good or whatever. I mean, that's what I would say to somebody else, Yeah, it's tough. I think if I had the budget, I would work with somebody else, just because I don't think it's necessarily conducive. Now, my vocals, I don't think I would ever. Well, maybe I don't know. I maybe somebody else would have a different way of doing vocals, but because I tend to just overdo that too,
Sure.
So, but it's not like that with other people. When other people come in here, I'm relaxed. I have ideas. I think it's like an element, like it's a combination of, I don't know how to put it because like I try just as hard on other people's stuff as I do my own. Like I go into every project, like I'm going to make this the best thing I've ever done. Like hands down every single time, like I really try. But there is something about working on other people's music that I can not worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, I can when I'm watching TV that night, I'm not like, man, I didn't get that arrangement well enough. Like, no, I can stop thinking about it and be excited or whatever it is. And
right.
I think I'm just, when I'm not as close to it because I know at the end of the day, it's really not my job. To make the song awesome. It's really the artist's job. Yeah. But, and a lot of times I'll come in and try my best to help with that. You know what I mean? Like, I'll try to help write their arrangements or I mean, I'll go as far as they want me to.
Sure.
You know, I'll write arrangements, I'll play guitar, I'll play bass, whatever it is, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably, like, I mean, I obviously, some bands want different things for whatever the projects are, but
yeah.
But I think a good producer and engineer is almost like, you know, the fifth or sixth member of the band or
yeah.
whatever, where, you know, you rely on them to help you, you know, say, well, this is good and this isn't, you know, this sucks and, you know, maybe try this part here, this guitar part and, you know, and offer those ideas and things where how to make it the best you can. So,
yeah. And it's really about, it really comes down to, you know, I don't want to bruise anybody's ego. I'm not saying that like anybody I work with have a huge ego or anything, but like it's trying to be tactful about certain things and hoping that they listen, you
sure.
know, like when I say something, it's not because I'm trying to make myself, you know, look awesome or whatever it is. Like if I say something that I really think this is the route that we should go, it's to try to help their music, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, music is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a balance with, you know,
mm-hmm. What the second part of that, do you have a dream collaboration?
I think Butch Walker. I said that, yeah, last time. I would say Butch Walker is probably... And then there's another guy named David Cobb.
Yeah, Dave Cobb's been killing him, man.
Yeah, I really like his stuff. I almost... It's not... Well, collaboration would be great, but I almost would like to just be a fly on the wall with some of these guys. Like, I just want to go and be in a studio and see what they do. And
yeah.
just... Because I feel like a lot of this stuff is just little tricks, and it's, you know, you start to learn little tricks, and pretty soon they don't, you know, I feel like certain people don't even realize how many tricks they know, and or maybe they do, and they keep it. I mean, they don't put it on the internet, you know.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know Dave Cobb, he's produced the last couple Jason Isbell records, Chris Stapleton record, Sturgill Simpson's record, Wheeler Walker Jr. record.
I haven't heard that.
Wheeler Walker Jr. is a... I don't know a lot of people know about him yet. I mean, he's... It kind of started... like... I don't know that it's you can find it like if you look it up online, but I don't think a lot of people fully realize it. But Wheeler Walker Jr. is a comedian named Ben Hoffman. Ben Hoffman had a show on Comedy Central called The Ben Show. The Ben Show, they wrote a skit where he was this country singer, and he wrote this filthy song that he's singing out, and the song was called Eating Pussy and Kicking Ass. And so anyway, that like whole bit like spun into him recording a full length album. And Dave Cobb produced it. Sounds incredible, but he's writing all these incredibly filthy songs.
So it's a joke album.
Sort of. Like, I mean, he's committed. He is Wheeler Walker Jr.
Oh, okay.
When he's singing those songs. It's not comedy. It's the real song. It's like a David Allan Coe record or something. You know, like, do you ever listen to David Allan Coe?
No, I haven't.
David Allan Coe was back in the 70s, right? All these crazy... But he wrote a lot of great, like, real songs, like Tennessee Whiskey and Do You... I forget the real title of it. The chorus is like, "You don't have to call me darling... darling," and like you don't even call me by my name. That's the name of the song. There it is. But so he wrote a lot of these really great songs that are like iconic in country music, but he also wrote these incredibly filthy songs that were kind of like, you know, you pick up in a truck stop or something like that, like,
yeah,
you know, like kind of these kind of tapes like that. And anyway, so Wheeler Walker Jr. is kind of like a throwback to that kind of type of filthy country song.
Well, if he produced it, I'll check it out.
I mean, like I said, it sounds incredible. The record itself, I don't know, all the music in it, but If you, I mean, I laugh. I mean, it's really funny stuff just because he's so so obnoxious. But it's, but yeah, I mean, so like I said, I think people think that there's Wheeler Walker Jr. and there's Ben Hoffman.
Yeah.
Two totally different guys, but it's really the same guy. So I learned that the other day on listening to a Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, really?
Well, I put all the pieces together. Like, I knew of Ben Hoffman. And I knew of Wheeler Walker Jr., but I didn't realize they were the same guy until he said something in that podcast about, and it all started like, wait, what? I think it is the same guy. So then, sure enough, it is. I went and looked it up and confirmed it. But yeah,
yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah,
I pretty much like everything he does.
Sure, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, I wish I knew everything that he did to get, you know, I think his arrangements are why I really like him. I mean, they're really complex, but they almost sound complex. They sound really natural, but even though there's like 10 different instruments going on and there's always something interesting going on. And that's what I try to do. I try to make it interesting at every, you know, little tidbit, every second. If it's not interesting, people start to look away. I feel sure. Like, you know, you can't ride an acoustic guitar for 12 bars with, I mean, I guess you can, but
yeah,
if you listen to records, that's not, you know, it may seem like that's the only thing that's going on, but there's probably a lot of other things backing that up that are kind of pushed back. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I think he's like awesome at. And making it seem like it's just an acoustic guitar, but in reality, there's, you know, tons of stuff backing that up.
Right.
So.
James Patrick asked, what was your inspiration to start playing music?
Let's see. I don't know. I think I was just, I think I needed something to be creative, and I didn't know. And that just happened to be where I landed. You know, I think I was supposed to do something creative because I would always, like, that was just kind of how I dealt with whatever. You know, I tried drawing, I think, when I was a kid.
Right.
And then I tried, and I was never really that great at that. Like, I just wasn't very natural. And I'm also kind of colorblind, so that didn't really work out.
Right.
And, oh, you know what actually happened is I was a big hockey player. I wanted to be like a professional hockey player, which, you know, every kid does. But I was like 15, I think, or 14. No, it's maybe 15. Maybe I was even 16. And you know, I definitely wasn't good enough to ever be a professional. But I was on a breakaway, and all of a sudden, like, my ass started. Like, I remember my ass hurts. And I kept playing the game. I played my heart out on these things. It was like a championship game or something. It was roller hockey. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? And, you know, I was a kid, you don't think about it. Well, I kept playing. I kept doing sports. And soon enough, I couldn't walk. Like, I was just like, what the hell is going on? And I found out that I tore my hamstring. I tore it. And so I was like, I was walking around school with, you know, I looked, you know, it was ridiculous because I was limping and stuff. And then something happened to where I guess the other one compensated, and the other one, I don't think the other one tore, but the other one was like badly pulled.
Hmm.
And so I had two pulled, or one tore and one pulled hamstring. And it was just like, I was basically, sports were never really in my future. You know, like I still play hockey occasionally, but, you know, I just couldn't really after that. And I think I was depressed about that, and I picked up the guitar because I was depressed. And, I think my friends, you know, because I'd always start things and stop them, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm sure that'll really last." And I was like, "Oh, I think I'm going to keep going with it."
Yeah.
And I did, you know, and I just kept. I mean, I sucked really bad. And the thing about my friends at the time, which some of them are still my friends now, like, they would tell me the truth. They would be like, you suck. You're horrible. Like, I'd be like, do you know what song I just played? Be like, no, that was terrible. That sounded atrocious.
All right. Cool, man. Well, I guess we'll close this thing out, man. We'll play Lost. Where do we go from here? And Along for the Ride, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to play all three. So you can hear those three songs, and you can keep an eye out for a release. You also have a fan page for the studio, right?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have one for as an artist or?
Yeah, I just have it as John Heiser right now.
Okay.
Because I can't think of a band name that's just me. So I just made it John Heiser. It's simple. I mean, it's definitely not a rock star name. So, I struggled with that decision as well.
Yeah.
But for now, it's just John Heiser. I figured I can't lose with that decision because it's always going to be my name. So I'm never going to have to backtrack from that. So, but people are definitely not going to be able to spell it.
Right.
That's the problem. So
they can follow you online to keep up when the release is coming out and reach out to John and Absent Recording if you want to get in here in the studio and record your project.
Yeah.
Do we have a website too?
AbsentRecordings.com, I think. It's not really been updated in a little while. I need to update it.
Yeah.
Maybe by the time you put this out, it'll be updated. But, and then it's Absent Recordings on Facebook. And,
cool. Well, thanks. Thanks for hanging out, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And, I guess we'll look forward to that record finally coming out, man. All right. Thanks,
cool.
John.
All right, man. Thank you.
Hello. They call me Mr. H. I wear a plastic smile upon my face. Put on my shoes. I wear an empty suit. I sing the blues when I dream of you. And I don't belong here in this place. In my haste, forgot your face. Put on my Mr. H, I hate your face. It's all I do. I'd be a fool to follow you. It's a shame. Not in front of me. I don't believe.
front of me. Oh, and I don't belong to anyone. You don't mean much to me, anyone. This place is killing me. I'm a slave.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.